Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Luke and chapter 2, let me read 6 verses, and then I'll open in prayer. Great looking crowd this morning. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, registered for their taxation. And this taxing was first made by when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning, and I pray that this Christmas message would be new, would be fresh. The only way that will happen for those of us that are familiar with it is if the Holy Spirit takes the scripture this morning and speaks to our heart. And God, we pray that would happen even right now. We pray, God, that you'd take over in this service. Lord Jesus, that you would be the preacher, that there would be those listening by way of a radio broadcast or live streaming that do not know the gospel and they'd understand for the first time what Jesus has done for them and they'd be born again. And God, we pray for those that are born again and they do love you. Lord, the Christmas season ought to be the most wonderful time of year. And God, we ask that somehow, some way, you would help us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and the message of the season. And God, may it stir us to action as the church of Jesus Christ. And we'll thank you for it. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. Hard for me not to get nostalgic this time of year. So I'm not going to share some of the old stories that I've shared for 43 years. I'm not going to take you to Ashman Street and the big Christmas tree at the corner of Ashman and Spruce Street and how everything used to be all lit up downtown and how there was Kresge's there and there was Scott's 5 and 10 and everything was just aglow with Christmas lights and Christmas music. And remember the old days in the UP when we had snow at Christmas and all those big flakes are coming down and big, you know, I have a lot of great memories concerning Christmas, but I want to go beyond that. It's the year 2023. There is no snow in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. We had to fight through fog in order to get to the service, Sunday services, the day before Christmas. Man, it's kind of hard to put my mind around that. It almost doesn't feel like Christmas, but let's pretend there's blowing snow outside. Let's pretend that it's horizontal and we've got 4 and 5 foot banks everywhere already. Let's just kind of pretend that. And now we're inside the church house and we're getting ready to celebrate the Christmas season. I do love Christmas. I want to tell you, it has been a wonderful year for Tim Rader this Christmas. I've gotten a lot of gifts over the last few days. In fact, my desk right now is full of some baked goods and some gift cards and thank you, and I can't afford to buy you all presents. I'm sorry for that. And my wife just isn't the baker that she ought to be, and we can't return all of those. But I do want to tell you this. We do not know, we do not need, I know some of you know this, and I think you do this out of spite to Pastor Rader. We do not need more knickknacks at my house. We've already opened some gifts. You aren't going to believe this. This is the king and queen of all knickknacks. We don't need any more of these at my house. All right, just so you know, I think I do know who got this for us. So I'm going to set them over here. We got this last night, and I'm thinking, you have got to be kidding. I told Deb, yeah, I think I saw one of those move. I'm not sure. To me, that is a little bit weird. The Christmas message is not weird. Go back again, Luke in chapter 2. I hope you're there. By the way, while I'm preaching, if you see one of those move, you let me know, all right? Knickknacks. Oh my. I can't overstate it. We have no room in our house because of Christmas knickknacks. They are everywhere. Everywhere, even on my bathroom sink in our private bathroom. I go in there, there's knickknacks. They're everywhere. Oh, my. All right, but let's go back to what Christmas is really all about. Before we read from verse 7 on, this has been the greatest year ever for Pastor Tim Rader as far as the Christmas season. Nothing has topped this. Every program we have had, people have gotten saved. It has been amazing. It started with, it was the one or two for the Sunday school program. That's a difficult time to actually win people to Christ because everybody, you know, the kids, the Sunday school program. It's a good time. I enjoy it very much. It's the program of the year that I like the least because I have no control over any one of those little kids that are up here on the platform. But you know what? I've learned to roll with the punches just a little bit. We did the cantata four different times. God bless you people that are in that cantata. You spent extra hours when you did not have to be here and you were at cantata practice. The first night we did, the first two times we did the cantata, I think there were 6 and 4 people saved respectively in those two places. And then we did the cantata the third time here at Fundamental Baptist Church. And there were a few people, I'm sorry, the first time we did the cantata, there were between, and it's loose because it was the senior citizens, but people praying the sinner's prayer are like 25. And then like 4 or 5. Then we did the cantata here last Sunday night. You'd have thought that would have been the peak time, and there were a half a dozen people saved then. One man got saved after the cantata. He's hanging around here afterwards. He said, Pastor, I prayed that prayer. I said, well, do you know what you prayed? And so I went through it all again, and he made a profession of faith there. And then we went to Drummond Island, and I am telling you, that's the best we ever did the cantata. I was shocked. Everybody that was there, and it was about half of the choir. We had about 20 choir members. I think we weeded out all the bad voices. I think that's what it was. I'm kidding. That little church is a new church, tongue groove cedar everywhere. Man, it just rang. It was just acoustic. It was just a wonderful time. They had 4 visitors, Drummond Island Baptist Church. You know how many got saved? 4. Those four visitors. They received Christ as their Savior. Friday afternoon, I got to do the funeral for one of my high school classmates, Adi Potter. Adi got saved later in life, became a member here at Fundamental Baptist Church, was here about a year, did some painting for us, and then moved off to Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Adi went to sleep a week ago and did not wake up. He woke up in God's heaven. And I was able to preach the funeral to a lot of my peers, high school peers. And I'm going to say 40 people got saved. That's amazing. It was amazing. I'm with pastors on the prayer call, and I've gotten to the place, in fact, I didn't even share the number of people that got saved. I said, we've had people saved in all of our programs this year. It's been an unusual year. Praise God. I didn't want to tell them that it was like 70 plus professions of faith in the last 14 days, because I didn't want to sound like I was bragging. I didn't want to put it on them and like, you know, man, we didn't get anywhere near that. And to me, it's almost like, how is that possible? I'll tell you how it's possible. God answering prayers. It's possible because salvation is easy. Jesus did all the work. He did everything we had to do to go to heaven. And all it takes on our part is a repentant heart. And here's the deal. There are people everywhere in our county and surrounding counties that are hungry for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if they just hear it proclaimed in a way they can understand, they're willing to pray. Now, are all those people getting baptized? Boy, I wish they would. I wish they'd step forward and honor God and begin to grow in their life. But I do know this, if they meant what they prayed, they're going to be in God's heaven one day. And I am thankful for that. Hey, take your Bibles, turn to Luke in chapter 15. We're in Luke chapter 2. Look at Luke in chapter 15. I know there are people that sit back and you're thinking, nobody sees that many people saved. Not in the day and age that we're in. I'm telling you, we do here because we honor God. We just give forth the truth. And there was shouting in heaven on Friday afternoon. There was shouting in heaven on Friday night. There was shouting in heaven last Sunday night. There were shouting in heaven twice, at least twice, on Saturday. Others are coming to Christ as well. Look what it says here in verse 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Verse 10. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And the angels have been singing all Christmas season. And they've been rejoicing before God. Sinners, worthless, wretched sons and daughters of men, forgiven, cleaned up, and adopted into the family of God. That is miraculous. This has been a great Christmas season. But I thank God. I thank God publicly. I thank Him in front of all you people right now. Thank you, God, for what you did. Thank you for every boy and girl, every man and woman, every grandma and grandpa, everyone that received Jesus as their Savior. Thank you for that one that was in a wheelchair at the nursing home. And I'm not sure they understood or not. They said they did. And they prayed and received Jesus as their Savior. Thank you. Man, that is getting saved right at the end of the, when the candle's almost blown out. Thank God for that. That's why there's a Christmas. You understand, if there were no cradle, there would be no cross. If there were no baby, there would be no Savior. Man, glory to God. Let's go back to Luke in chapter 2. Verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son. Make no mistake about it, born of a virgin. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. That is a miraculous birth. It says she brought forth her firstborn son, because we know that according to the Gospels, Jesus had at least four brothers that were born later. They weren't miracle births. They were sons of Joseph. Four brothers and at least two sisters. Brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, strips of cloth, that's how the Jewish ladies did it, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. He wasn't born in a hospital. He wasn't born in a house. He was born in a barn. He was laid in a manger. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field and keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. That word lo is an interesting word. It's an action word. It means past, present, and future. Look. Understand it. Look here. Understand. An angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord was shown round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I'm going to say more about that in just a moment. But we have got to, this Christmas season, we have got to get the message right. It is not about a jolly old elf. It is not about flying reindeer. It is about the Savior, the incarnation, the Son of God coming down to this earth. I've been meditating upon this. I've been pondering it. I've been thinking about it. This morning, God got a hold of my heart. I was walking around the auditorium just thinking about the incarnation. You and I know we don't understand how big this is. God in heaven came down, the Son of God came down from God's glory. From the presence, from Shekinah glory, came down from the very presence of God the Father. And he visited this little speck of a planet we call Earth in the solar system in which we live. He created it. He put it together. But on that Earth, he created Adam and he created Eve, and mankind rebelled against God. And so God made a way for God, for mankind, sinner man, to be able to go to God's heaven one day in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Let me say this. That's the only way it could have happened. That is the only way. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no way that Tim Rader, he gave us the law to show us we couldn't do it. There's no way that Tim Rader could go to heaven by keeping the law, because I can't keep the law. I haven't even kept the Ten Commandments, let alone the 600 other commandments in the Old Testament. It's a schoolmaster. It teaches me. I'm a wretch. I'm a sinner. But the Savior has come. That's what the angels were singing about. Every time, you understand that the angels have been there for Jesus again and again. They're there here at his annunciation. They were there at his birth. They were there when he was tempted. They were there in Gethsemane. They were there at his resurrection. They were there at his ascension. And they'll be there at his return to this earth. Man, the angels are a big part of it. Look what it says. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And I really believe these next words are the most underspoken words. That's not the way I want to say. Underrated words ever spoken, ever recorded in Holy Writ, any place in the Word of God. It says, and they were sore afraid. If I was there in those Judean hillside and in the darkness of midnight and the angels appear from horizon to horizon, I would be sore afraid. I'd be right down on my face in the dirt. And I believe they were as well. And the angel of the Lord said unto them, man, you don't need to be afraid. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Interesting, and it's used again over in verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. Remember that word praising. We're going to end the service with that this morning. Verse 11. And unto you, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, as was prophesied 700 years before, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Christ is anointed one. That Hebrew word, Old Testament equivalent, is used 38 times in the Old Testament. Jesus, the Savior, is the promised one. He is the one that the prophets foretold. He was the one that all of Israel was looking for and looking for his soon coming. Verse 12 says, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The message comes to the shepherds, the humble shepherds. The angel says, hey guys, don't be afraid. I've got good news. The Savior has come. This is how you're going to know who he is. And Bethlehem is a small town. It's a small shepherd's village at this time. They probably knew of every barn and every stable there in that village. And on that hillside, these humble shepherds get this message directly from the angels. This is going to be the sign. This is how you're going to know who he is. And maybe in the back of their mind, maybe they're not thinking anything. I probably wouldn't have been thinking anything at that point either. But, you know, the king, our Savior, has finally come, and he's here in Bethlehem. Here's how you're going to find him. He's going to be a baby. He's going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes. What? You'll find him lying in a manger. Man, that had to take them back. Verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. That word host actually means army. There was a multitude of the heavenly army praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, finally, peace and goodwill toward men. There's the message. Here's what the angel said. Glory to God in the highest. Because peace is finally being delivered to this sinful earth, and goodwill to men. Verse 15 says, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and let's see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the same which was told them concerning the child. Man, they turned into evangelists. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. That wondered means, wow, how could that be? The anointed one, the promised Messiah, was in the barn. A little baby lying in a manger, wrapped up in swaddling clothes? How could that be? They wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things. Mary of quiet and meek spirit kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. That word praising is the exact same word we get the word evangelize from. Exact same word. Here they are, evangelists. Here they are, soul winning, praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. I love Christmas. I love it when we get the message right. I love it when it's about Jesus. Oh, we can have family fun and so forth. And I understand all of that. But I love it when we get the message right. I love it when it's about the incarnation. I love it when it's a celebration, just like we find out right here, they were celebrating. And nobody ought to be more understand what celebrating Christmas is. Nobody ought to understand that more than forgiven sinners who are born into the family of God by way of grace and by way of mercy. We're going to heaven one day because the Savior came. We're going to heaven one day because God took on the robe of flesh and lived a sinless, holy life. And the one that didn't deserve to die died for me. The one that didn't break the law took my place at Calvary and nailed, Colossians, the handwriting of the ordinances, the law, to the tree. That's what Jesus did. There's a Redeemer. A Savior is born, which is Christ the Lord. That's back in verse 11. It says in verse 20, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, was accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. That's Exodus 13 and verse 12 and Leviticus chapter 12 and verses 4 through 6. Every Jewish family did this because they knew that that boy might be the Messiah. That boy might be the anointed one. So here they are. They're being obedient to the law. It says in verse 24, to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Consolation of Israel. That's a Hebrew idiom. It speaks of the coming Messiah. So here is a man of God. In the temple, God the Holy Spirit told this old man that you will not be taken home to heaven until you actually lay your eyes on the coming Messiah. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. Here's what happened. Here's Mary and Joseph, and they have baby Jesus, and they come to offer sacrifice. And God, the Holy Spirit, says to Simeon, that's him. Can you imagine this old man full of the Holy Ghost, this old man who is a man of God, ancient, old in years, many years. Mary and Joseph come in, they've got the baby, and God the Holy Spirit says to Simeon, Messiah, right there. And he walks over and he takes him. He said, now I can go home to heaven. Folks, here is the Messiah. Let's read it. Let's read on. Verse 29. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, the hope of the world. It was found in this perfect baby boy, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and a glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Now, they knew this was a miracle baby. They knew that Mary and Joseph, they knew they hadn't been intimate in any way. Oh, Mary was espoused to Joseph, but man, they had not come together as was Jewish custom. Man, that was still months and months away, and yet Mary was with child, and that which was conceived in her was of the Holy Ghost. You see, Jesus' father is God the Father. Joseph knew that he'd done no wrong. Mary knew that she had done no wrong. Man, all these things are coming together, and they marveled. Verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts might be revealed. And then just a couple of more verses. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. And she was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. Now she was either, if you do the math here, no contradiction, it's just how we read it, and I haven't had time to study it out fully. She's either 110 years old or she's 94 years old. That's an old lady who loved God. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant, Simeon, this is the Messiah, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for the redemption in Israel. What she did is she walked in and saw Simeon saying, this is the anointed one. This, people of Israel, this is the Messiah, this baby. And she came in and basically said, a big amen. That's what Christmas is about. Man, if we get the message right, people are going to get saved. If we just share the simple gospel, the simplicity of the gospel. And I know, I'm fearful of this very thing. Of people that just pray a prayer and they don't mean it. I'm fearful of that. But it's always been that way all through the church. You don't think God understood that? And that's why God is the one that knows the heart. And God is the one that births that person into the family of God. It's not our part. That's not our job to pick out the wheat and the tares. That's God's job. We give forth the truth. We're like Simeon, say, here he is. He's the Savior of the world. People of Israel. People of America. People of the world, if you'll come to the Messiah, the one and only Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, you too can have eternal life. He is the bread of life. He is that living water. You drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. That is salvation. Man, that's what it's about. Not knickknacks. Praise God. They never moved while I was preaching, did they? Okay. Not knickknacks. Man, that's not even the king and queen of all knickknacks. Man, it's about Jesus. Not Christmas, not pretty Christmas lights. I love them. We got them all over our house. But that's not what it's about. It's about the incarnation. It's about Jesus coming to this earth. I love the giving of Christmas. When your getting becomes smaller than your giving, congratulations, you're starting to grow up. And Jesus gave everything that he had. What are we giving him in return? Oh, God bless me. Oh, God give me. I want that toy soldier. I mean, I got to have that new bike. Oh, God. How about serving God? How about giving? How about being like Simeon and say, here he is, the Savior. Just come to him. If there were no manger, there would be no cross. No swaddling clothes, no robe, no baby, no Savior.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.